it's that important. It's like, basically you approach recovery as if it's like your most important workout of the week, but you do it every day, probably.
Welcome to the Spartan Endurance Series on Spartan Up Podcast with host Johnny Waite.
Hey, it is really great to be back with Nicole Maracle. Nicole, you and I spoke a while ago on the podcast, and it was really great getting to know you. And I'm very excited about this conversation because I'm going to get to know another side of you. Like I've got to know Nicole, the racer, and as a racer who, this is who you are in your identity, you're not racing right now.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Climber and FitAid. Climber, the most effective cardio and strength machine. Climber provides a full body strength and cardio workout with zero impact in only 30 minutes. Go to climber.com, that's CLMBR.com, and use the code Spartan to save $250. FitAid, race dirty, recover clean with FitAid Sports Recovery Drink. Visit lifeaidbevco.com and enter the code Spartan30 at checkout to get exclusive early access to FitAid's Black Friday 30% off sale.
So tell us about why we'll find you on the sidelines right now.
Yeah. So thanks for having me. I tore my ACL about 5 months ago, and I had surgery to reconstruct it using my quad tendon. So a pretty major surgery that involved cutting out a piece of my tissue in order to use that as a new ACL. So I have like two injuries almost. I don't just have like the new ACL to heal, but I also have like this other site that has to recover as well. So it's been about 5 months since then. It's a pretty long recovery and I'm just starting to run again, but my life last 5 months has not had any racing in it. Training has looked very different. There's still been a huge focus on recovery and different elements of like strength training and fitness building. But it all has centered around the recovery process for my knee. So it's been very different.
Yeah, absolutely.
And right now I would say like, I'm probably the least fit that I've been in probably like 5 or 6 years, which is an interesting place to be kind of like starting over.
Sure. So yeah, and I want to come back to exactly that point, the idea about where you're at now compared to where you've been and how you're going to get to where you want to be. But first, tell us about the injury. Was it a training injury, a racing injury? How did you hurt yourself in the first place?
It was a racing injury. It was kind of a combination of a lot of things that were just kind of some unfortunate circumstances. But so a lot of ACL tears happen upon landing. Jumping, turning, those type of things. And mine very much had to do with landing. I was dismounting from an obstacle that I completed. This was in a non-Spartan race, but
sure.
An obstacle course race, just the same. So I dismounted. And as I was coming off, I was kind of turning because of the way that I had like grabbed one of like the hanging elements pretty far back from the bell. And I was able to like twist my entire body and hit the bell, but it ended up having me come off at somewhat of an angle. Like I was like turning left a little bit.
Yep.
And because I was in the lane that was closest to the supportive truss on the obstacle, I was kind of like headed toward that element. And so I had this rotating force, like going left. And then I was so close to the truss that I like kind of grabbed it and pushed myself away from it as I was landing. And so
yep.
I think having those two kind of like opposing directions going on, and then also landing with likely not the most like absorptive positioning, like
sure.
not like as like bent yep. knee as possible, resulted in yep. having my knee go inward and tear that ACL.
And did you know right away? Was it pretty obvious to you that, this is not good?
Yes. Yeah, so right away, right when I landed, I felt and I heard a big pop and I collapsed to the ground. Mm-hmm. And it was something where, yep. you know, this has never happened to me before. It's not like I was like immediately like, oh, I tore my ACL. But obviously like I found myself on the ground. This is like the end of a race. And my first reaction is just like to get up and go again. And so, so I tried, like, I stood up, I tried to take a step, and then I immediately fell over again. And that happened a few times before, you know, my like race brain kind of went away. And then I was like, oh, like I can't bear weight on my leg. So then I sat down and then started to really assess like, okay, something's very wrong. And then at that point, like I had help from the race and from this physical therapist who was on course, and they carried me off. So it was something where I realized immediately that something was very wrong, but yeah, still like it wasn't that painful. It was just that I had a lack of, like, I wasn't able to walk at all. I just like, could not.
There's no structural stability there. Yeah. Wow. So now let's take us back. You'd said about sort of, you know, being in the worst shape you've been. So at that point, you know, you're at the top of your game, you're competing, you're winning, you're feeling great. So how did it feel once it sunk in that, oh wow, this is going to set me back?
You know, I will say, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that my body in May was probably, in some ways, the most fit that I've ever been. Like I was climbing very strong. I was very proficient with obstacles. My running fitness was really good. Maybe not the best ever, but I was also just like mechanically running really well, and I felt very advanced in some ways, and so. So it was this like huge discrepancy going from feeling like, you know, kind of like the best I have in like a few years to then being completely sidelined. It definitely takes, I think I was able to draw from my past injuries, which I've unfortunately had several. And so it's a bit easier for me to process because it's just not the first time. Like I've been there before. I know like, kind of like the mental steps to work through. And so it wasn't this like devastating thing. Just because I've been at the height of running before in college where I was running like the best times I've ever run and I went from that, thinking that I was going to, run at the NCAA championship and do really well in the final, and then go on and run in the Olympic trials. And I went from that to being, again, completely sidelined because of a fracture in my foot. So I do think that I've grieved more for past injuries, whereas this one, it's been, I've kind of been able to go a little bit straighter to like problem solving and like, okay, what, like just like going immediately into recovery mode.
So I want to ask you this. You know, most people watching this won't be an athlete at your level, but they'll be an athlete of some sort. You know, our listenership does tend to skew active. And so, you know, I think a lot of people, when they have an injury that's not a sports injury, say they step off the curb and they tear their ACL, their goal is just to get back to function, period, right? Whereas you're looking at this saying, I want to get back to where I was so I can continue getting better from there. Right? There's no part of you that's now saying, if I can get back to 90% of where I was, I'll be happy. It's no, I need to get back to 100% of where I was because my plan has always been to build on that. And so for anyone listening who, you know, their 100% may not be your 100%, but, you know, they want to get from where they are in their life to the best they've been so they can then continue to build from there. How did you get yourself ready for that emotionally and mentally? Like, you know, I got work to do and I'm going to do it.
I would say that I approached recovery in the same way that I approached my training. And that is to say that daily consistency is the priority. So I figured out a way to make the things I did for rehab my priority each day. And you know, I get it, like people that are listening are, you know, they have jobs and they might have like family to take care of as well. And I have actually been doing a lot of work, since I've been injured as well, on different kind of projects, but, basically, like, what works best for me, and I think for a lot of people that do have a lot of responsibilities as well, is scheduling out time to make that rehab process yep. happen. So, and yep. the earlier you can do it, the better. So for me, it was waking up, and the first thing that I did was I worked on, like, the little mobility things I had to do and the little exercises I had to do. And so that way I knew that I got it done. And then it was like, then I had the rest of the day to get all of my other work done. So that's just kind of been my, my approach to it, is to make sure it's a really high priority, which is, it can be hard, especially when you have an injury that you're able to train through. So like not what mm-hmm. I have going on right now. If somebody is yeah. like dealing with a little injury and they, you know, maybe they're going to physical therapy and they have exercises to do, but they're not finding time to do it at home. What I would say for that is that you actually, then you need to carve out time during your workout in order to do those yeah. exercises that are going to help you get fully healthy, because it's that important. It's like, basically you approach recovery as if it's like your most important workout of the week. But you do it every day, yep. probably.
And I love that parallel that you've drawn to, you know, an elite athlete is elite because they do the little things and they do them consistently. So you know, when you're healthy, that's how you become incredibly proficient. But when you're not healthy, it's also how you get back to health, right? And not rushing it and not skipping steps. It's I know what I have to do. And I'm going to do it. So as opposed to the person who just goes into the gym with no plan and works out for 2 hours and thinks they're going to somehow become a better athlete, you know, you have a plan and you're sticking to it. So I really like, again, like you say, it's really no different fundamentally than what's made you a great athlete to begin with. It's just having to apply it in a different way. So where are you at now in terms of the recovery?
So the first 3 months of ACL recovery, in general, is mostly just healing. So like my surgeon,
yep.
he told me, like, this period of time, like, you're not trying to build fitness. You're not trying to really even build that much strength. It's more about healing and resting and doing things to help that. So I was in the pool every day. I still am in the pool often, because that really increases the water pressure is helpful to move, like, to move your blood, to move your lymphatic system, decrease swelling. So that's been like a huge thing for me. But yeah, those first 3 months were very slow in some ways, because, you know, like, I could only do so much, and a lot of it was just like time, giving my knee like time to heal. But then after like that, like 3 and 4 months, then I really started to see like a big turnaround, and I was like then able to, I could walk more. I could actually, you know, bike more. I could really see like more gains in terms of my strength exercises. And so, I remember at 4 months, I knew that like 4 to 5 months was going to be when I would be released to try running again. And at 4 months,
yep.
I just still felt kind of like a mess. Like, I just felt like my knee was, you know, still pretty reactive to any kind of like strength that I would do, and it would swell, and I didn't have great proprioception and like, control. And so I was like, man, like, I just feel really far from running. Like, I don't feel like I'm ready to run. I don't feel yep. like I could even, you know, my mind couldn't even like wrap my head around my body moving in that way. And then about like a week or two later, I had just like progressed more. Just, I started rock climbing. And so I think that helped with a lot of the control. And all of a sudden I was like, oh yeah, like I'll be able to run in another couple weeks. So, yep. and now that's where I am right now. I'm like starting to run. It's very slow. I'm starting to do more dynamic exercises, like single leg hops and, yep. and more like, kind of like really controlled jumping things, which is getting me ready to run even more. And then I'm able to rock climb again, which has been, that's been like the biggest thing. Everybody was like, you know, oh, it's going to be so exciting for you to run again. Like, how excited are you to run? And again, like what I'm doing right now for running is very far from my normal running because I'm doing, yep. I'm like running 1 minute, walking a minute for five yep. to 10 times. So,
a great thought though is a lot of people listening who are just getting started on the whole fitness and racing thing. I think it'll help them to know that you're at that point because a lot of them are at that point. You know, they haven't been active yet. They're just starting. And so there's nothing wrong with running for a minute, walking for a minute, because it's going to get you where you want to be.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I think that there's a misconception for a lot of people that to be a runner, you have to run, you know, 30 minutes straight or an hour straight and you can't stop. Yeah. But I think, you know, especially when you're starting out, there's absolutely nothing yep. wrong with running a few minutes and then walking a few. And I think it's a really great yep. way to build fitness and to build that muscular strength, to build that strength in your tendons in a really like safe mm-hmm. manner. And yep. I always tell people like the first 2 weeks, even when I like take a break and then come back to running, even if it's not, you know, in the context of an injury, the first 2 weeks are so hard. And so
yeah, sure.
Every time I just think about like, oh yeah, like people like, you know, that complain like, oh, running is so hard. And like, I just like, can't get, you know, I can't get into like the rhythm of it. And I can't get that, like that groove going that people talk about. I tell them like, give it 2 weeks, yeah. consistent running, maybe more if you're not running like every day or every other day. But yep. yeah.
So a thought and a question based on what you just said. So the thought is that that would be such an interesting 3 months for somebody who, you know, you're all about, okay, what's next? How do I do this? You know, what do I have to do and I'll do it? You know, very disciplined and focused and to not have any KPIs, not have any benchmarks for those 3 months. It's just simply invisible healing and you don't know if it's happening or not because there's nothing to see. There's nothing to test. You just have to trust it. So I want to learn about what you've learned through going through that process. Like when you said looking back on old injuries, you recognize now that you learned that, you know, I will recover. So I had an injury, I will recover. That helps me with this injury. But in terms of this major injury and having to really just take 3 months off completely, what do you think you've learned as an athlete, as a person from this process that's going to benefit you going forward?
So I actually would say that, it's probably yet to be determined what I've learned mostly sure. from this one, but yeah. when I think back on my old injuries, I did have an injury which led to me stopping my sport at the time, which was racing mm-hmm. on the roads and on the track. And so yeah. I really like, I actually have been through an injury before that basically like ended that career and had me
yep.
and like forced me to pivot and shift into trail racing and obstacle horse racing. So in kind of in my mind, like, I've already been in a situation where I didn't come back. Like I didn't, yeah. I had to, in a way I did because I'm still competing, but it's not in the same way that I was before. So I guess having already kind of been there, my mind is like, well, I've already been through that kind of like, not that that's like the worst thing that could happen. There could be worse things, but in some ways that's like, you know, an athlete's like worst situation is that like, they can't come back to their sport. Yep. So I think, yeah, I guess I've already learned like what it is to go through like a really complicated injury that you can't really figure out and then have to like kind of step away and shift. And go after something else. And so, yep. to me, like there's not that, like, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that I will be able to get back to racing OCR. And I don't have any doubts about that, but you know, like worst yep. case scenario, like if I'm not able to, like I've kind of done that before. And, sure. I feel like when you live through something like that, you realize like, to not put as much like worth of your like self-worth into what you do yep. or your sport.
We'll be back to the interview in just a minute, but first a little bit about our sponsor today, Climber. Climber is a vertical climbing, full-body workout that combines high-intensity cardio with resistance training. It's one of the most efficient workouts on the market. With zero impact, the machine is safe for almost any age or level of ability. It's the first vertical climber to feature a large format touch display with on-demand instructor-led classes. Climber's patent-pending design has a high-quality build and a low level of required maintenance. It's easy to move, making it perfect for commercial or at-home use. The open design allows the user, you, to maintain correct body position without having to be inches away from the monitor. Climber just might be the better home workout you're looking for. Climber provides a full-body strength and cardio workout with zero impact in only 30 minutes. Go to climber.com, that's C-L-M-B-R.com, and use the code SPARTAN to save $250. FitAid. FitAid is a clean sports recovery drink. You heard that right. Clean sports recovery drink. It's 45 calories, certified non-GMO tested, vegan, paleo-friendly, certified gluten-free, kosher, and never contains artificial colors, flavors, sweeteners, or sodium. Even the zero sugar option that's keto friendly and 5 calories is naturally sweetened with monk fruit and stevia. The FitAid Recovery Blend has glutamine, glucosamine, turmeric, BCAAs, omega-3s, CoQ10, the full B complex, and electrolytes. It's what you need after the gym, hiking, biking, or your race. They are an official partner of the Spartan Race Series. You know that because you've gotten the drink at the finish line. Now you can get it at home. Visit lifeaidbevco.com and enter the code SPARTAN30 at checkout to get exclusive early access to FitAid's Black Friday 30% off sale. That's lifeaidbevco.com and the code SPARTAN30.
She'd mentioned before about, wanting to not take for granted the fact that you have a unique opportunity to apply yourself to this, because I mean it's your living too, right? But in some ways that's harder. So the person who, yes, they have the job and they have all these other things, this injury doesn't really mess with their identity. It's just an inconvenience because they are still doing all those other things. Whereas for you, this is your identity. You're an athlete. This is what you do. And so while there's the privilege that comes with, okay, I can now apply myself wholly to my recovery, there's also an extra challenge, which is like who I am might have just fundamentally changed. And I want to ask you about your support structures around that. Like, I know that you have sponsors. I know that you have family. I know that you have trainers, things like that. So in terms of where have you leaned to get that strength and that external reinforcement?
I do. I have a really great support network. My family is my parents in particular are very supportive, and they've helped me. My dad came here for 2 weeks and he took care of me after surgery. They've helped me financially because I typically rely quite a bit on prize money winnings. And so not having that source of income is very hard. I think that it's worth noting that as an athlete, you do rely on prize winnings. And so, I do feel very fortunate that I have a family that will support me in that way too. At least until I get back on my feet a little bit more. Great friends, a great boyfriend that are all super supportive, and they go with me to the pool. They know that tagging along, mm-hmm. the places that I have to now do my fitnessing is helpful.
Yeah.
So
it might not be as exciting as heading. Yeah.
The pool is not as exciting. I do like it, but I'm very social, and so I'm used to seeing friends on runs and seeing friends in the climbing gym.
Yeah.
And so being able to still have training buddies is a really huge benefit.
So to see somebody who has been very successful and has been, confident and everything else to humbly say, wow, I have to step back a little bit. I think makes you wonderfully relatable. And the fact that you're not just cocooning until you can come out with your super cape on again, you're saying, hey, here's me, warts and all, this is what it's all about. I think, in a lot of ways that, that's, it has to be, very much appreciated by the sponsors, that that it makes you even more relatable and accessible to the audience.
Yeah, go ahead. It's a double-edged sword where, like, you know, athletes are expected to kind of like show more of their life in a way. And sometimes that can be not really pressure, but it's like, it's just, it's more than like athletes had to do in the past, basically. Like before, like they would just show up and run, and then like maybe do a speaking engagement and do like a photo shoot. Whereas now there's like this opportunity, but also maybe a little bit of expectation to share more. But again, like I
think, oh, for sure.
I kind of just like in all of this, I just kind of remember like why I do things. And so, even when it comes to racing, like the reasons why I race wouldn't exactly go away if I wasn't able to race anymore. So like, and the same thing, like I, you know, if I didn't have sponsors, who like wanted me to share on social media, like I would still want to engage with people and, be part of the racing community and kind of like share a little bit of my life if it's helpful to someone. So I have Honey Singer, Athletic Brewing, VJ Shoes, and Stir. So, yeah, those are the four sponsors I have right now. And they've all been very supportive during this recovery process. Honey Singer has especially, you know, kind of stepped up and helped me with the dream team especially. So yeah, I'm really fortunate to have all of their support, over this year and going into next year too.
Fantastic. Let's take us forward a year. So we're not looking for a timeline of when you're back on the course, but let's take us forward a year when you are back on the course, you are back up to the top of your game. What are your goals? What's driving you forward as an athlete? And then just as a person, you know, coming out of this, if there's been anything that has caused you to reevaluate or reprioritize. So as a professional athlete and as a great person, what are you coming out of this focused on?
I think a bit of it is getting back to the same goals. You know, I still have like the same passion for racing, at the Spartan World Championships and OCR World Championships and competing at a really high level in those events. Trying to like press the women's sport along as well. One thing that I was like rather passionate about is, it's just trying to be like the best at obstacles that I could be. And in a way like show that women can be very good at obstacles and very proficient and very strong. Definitely wanting to like get back to that. I would love to compete on the USA ice climbing team, which is a little bit different. It's something that I competed in ice climbing last winter. In just like a few competitions, there weren't that many, and my sights were set on hopefully making the team this year. But I had to tell them like, look, I'm not going to be competing early in the year, which is the season for ice climbing. And so I contemplated applying for the team, but then in the end told them that like I really hope that the opportunity is there in for the winter next time. So that's still there. And then the only thing that I would say that has maybe changed or made me want to like reevaluate things is that the way in which I got injured, I would say that I was like 100% going for it. Like when it came to how fast I was trying to do obstacles, and it wasn't exactly necessary. Sure. And so I do kind of have this like debate in my head, which is like, on one hand, I want to see how good I can be and what I can get out of my body. And I want to like, you know, go like 100% after those goals. But on the other hand, when it comes to racing, if the goal is like to win, for instance, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to take like the biggest risks or you know, have like everything super dialed. Like sometimes it means being safe in some ways, or sometimes it means conserving energy. And so I do think when I look at my injury, Had I been a little bit more conservative on how fast I was doing the obstacles, my injury may not have happened. And so I think it's like, it's worth noting, and it's not something that's like flashy, because you want to hear people say that, like, you know, they go after it with everything they have, and that, you know, like you want to run through the line, and you want to, like, even if, you know, no matter if you're winning or you're losing, like, you still want to give like your best effort. But again, it's like, there's an element of increased risk that goes along with, with like pushing fully. And, as someone who, like, you know, is trying to do this professionally, that's like something worth noting and worth like considering.
Yeah. And I love that sort of panning back and saying this, you know, even a sprint is still a long race, and a beast is a very long race. And to say, I need to, my race management is that if I risk hurting myself every time I get onto an obstacle, these races are not going to be sustainable. You know, it's funny, as a race director, our highest incidence of injuries are the monkey bars and the 4-foot wall at every race, because people take them for granted. The 4-foot, the overwall. But it's because you just vault over it, right? And people take it for granted. They don't think of it as a, you know, nobody gets hurt on the Stairway to Sparta. It's like, you know, you're 25 feet up in the air, you're going to be very, very careful. And so, so for you, you know, coming off of an overhead obstacle, like I'm picturing as Bender or Twister or something, you know, that you're coming off. For most people, that's so taxing for them that they're not going to get hurt on that obstacle, because they're doing it slowly with every bit of focus they have. They get to the end, they hit the bell, and they drop straight down. Whereas for you, that became like your 4-foot wall, because you're just ripping through it and taking it for granted. And I think that's a great thing, no matter where people are at in the sport, to remember that the obstacles that have become easy for you are likely the ones you're going to get hurt on. There's an expression we teach. Go ahead.
Oh, I would also say that there's... So one thing that I've identified in my training that I was kind of leaving out is that I practice running, right? I practice lots of like upper body type grip things. Like, I rock climb in order to be good at the rigs and to be good at the upper body obstacles. But I didn't necessarily practice landing. And sure. I think there is a lot of landing in obstacle racing. And again, it's absolutely something that, like, I don't typically combine my running and my obstacle work in practice, which I'm not going to do that going forward anymore. But I do think that there is value in everyone, from like open waivers to pro, to practice landing more. Because if you're not doing it in practice, you do it, you know, 25 times in a race. And absolutely, that's like where a lot of people are getting injured.
Sure. Yeah. Best case scenario, you're doing it 25 times. Worst case scenario, you do it 11, and that's the end of your race, because the 11th one didn't work out. Hey, I want to thank you so much for sharing this experience. We've talked about how it's easy when you're on the podium and when things are going well to share, right? It's easy to talk about how you've been successful. So I really appreciate you taking the time to share at what could be seen as a low point, you know, when you're rebooting and resetting and trying to get back to where you were, feeling the least fit you felt in a long time. You're still approaching it with enthusiasm and grace and generosity. And I just want to acknowledge that you're certainly bringing an enthusiastic contributing spirit to this.
Well, thanks. Yeah. I think that a lot of people can get really down on themselves during injury and just feel like they, you know, they have to punish themselves, like getting on the stationary bike or whatever. And I think it's better to realize that you can give your body a break and it's okay. And also when you go into your cross training, your rehab, knowing that the priority is recovery is also very, very good to keep in mind, because, I know, like, when I was younger as an athlete, I kind of had more of that, like, that mentality that, like, oh, I have to get in like X amount of exercise, or like, you know, I can't let my fitness slide. Whereas now, you know, if I was doing that, right now, like I might be not able to heal as well. I may be, I may feel worse about myself on days that I wasn't able to get in all of my rehab and a form of exercise. I think that that's like, giving your body grace is like kind of what I say often to people. And I think it applies here as well.
Absolutely. Earlier, I was going to mention a quote that we teach our build crews so that we don't break things. And it's slow is smooth, but smooth is fast. And so from a recovery standpoint, it's the same thing, right? If you're trying to rush your recovery, you're never going to recover. So slow is smooth, smooth is fast, and you're going to come out the other end of it stronger than ever. So, hey, Nicole, I want to thank you so much for being here. I want to tell you I look forward to seeing you on podiums, apparently not just at OCR, but podiums in ice climbing and all the other amazing things you do.
Right now, I don't have any races on the schedule to go to, but I would love to see people at races. And so I'm sure I'll be out there. We'll have the dream team again next year. And so I'll have them to cheer on early in the season if I'm not racing yet. So,
If this is the first interview you've seen with me interviewing Nicole, go to YouTube, Spartan Up, and search our previous interview where we talked a lot about the dream team and the work you're doing helping other athletes, which is amazing. And I'm sure we'll have you back again.
Hopefully under better circumstances.
100%. Well, when you're back at the very top, I want to interview and hear what it's like looking back. How's that sound?
Awesome. Yeah, it's always great chatting with you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Endurance Series on Spartan Up Podcast. Spartan Up is your partner in resilience for mind, body, and spirit. We're here 3 days every week. Tuesdays, you can find Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan, interviewing biohackers, business leaders, authors, and athletes. Thursdays and Saturdays, catch episodes from our DECA, Endurance, Trail, Combat, and La Ruta series. Do you know someone who needs a little nudge? Maybe they could use some motivation, tactics to be stronger, healthier, happier, more successful. Tell them about our show. And if you're watching on YouTube, leave us a comment. We want to know who's watching and who's listening. Thanks. See you next time. This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Climber and FitAid. Climber, the most effective cardio and strength machine. Climber provides a full body strength and cardio workout with zero impact in only 30 minutes. Go to climber.com, that's CLMBR.com, and use the code Spartan to save $250. FitAid, race dirty, recover clean with FitAid Sports Recovery Drink. Visit lifeaidbevco.com and enter the code Spartan30 at checkout to get exclusive early access to FitAid's Black Friday 30% off sale.